You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is another day of the Sports Hangover, and imagine this, more news in the NBA. We're going to talk with Matt Moore, The Athletic. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in the world of Kawhi Leonard. Jordan, I don't get it. I would thought everybody wanted to play with the king, LeBron James. The latest there. We'll touch with him on the news in and around the NBA. Also coming up today, it is the next two games that we didn't get to yesterday. This week, we're looking at the first four games of the Saints season. Next week, the next four. The next four, then the next four. The week that the team starts training camp. Yesterday, we took a look at the Buccaneers and the Giants. Today, it's the Cleveland Browns. Kyle Kelly will give us the insight on Cleveland. Yes, they were winless last year, but they made a ton of moves this offseason. Did very well, I thought, in the draft as well. So let's see what takes place when that happens, when the Saints meet them to in one of the first four games of the season. Giants as well, as we talked about yesterday. But the Falcons, yeah, we know all about them, 10-6 a year ago. Carlos Medina will join us at 1:30 to give us the very latest. They're the top storylines going into training camp. Normally, this is when I would look to my left to make fun of Jay Hardgrave because he can't say anything until this.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, 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 partying. Fun, fun, fun.
Ah, yes. There she is, Rebecca Black, letting you know that you've officially reached the weekend. Why are you shaking your head? I gotta make fun of you now because Jay Hardgrave normally joins us on Fridays, but Essence Fest is, here in the city of New Orleans, so there you go. He is, he's busy.
I can't stand this song.
Yeah, well, I thought you would enjoy this song.
I used to like it until you ruined it.
Plenty to get into. 800-998-1003 is the way to get involved on the show. Twitter will be manned, of course, by Jordan the Intern at ESPN Radio NOLA. And as well, you can give us a call, 800-998-1003. Joey, back over the LaRose studios.
Hopefully,
the weather is not going to be nearly as bad as it was yesterday, or maybe so. A downpour earlier while we're on our way over here, and now it's just bright sunshine. So I guess that's what it is. We're in that period right now where you might get a downpour or two, and then it clears up. So everyone walking around again, Essence Fest weekend here in New Orleans after, of course, the 4th of July holiday back on Wednesday. As we said, got plenty to get into as well, including Jordan. We just got confirmed, so I didn't tell you earlier. But, yes, Marlon Favorite will call us at 2:15. I don't know if you saw the highlights yesterday. It was a little basketball game yesterday. A couple of Saints players were involved.
Really? With who?
Alvin Kamara and stuff. It was a little charity basketball game at the head. Well, Marlon apparently had to – he played. Marlon played. I didn't know this. He should have told us.
He played
this.
In the game?
He played in the game.
How many points did he score?
And, well, it didn't go exactly
– into detail?
Well, no, he did. He had to cover Michael Thomas, and Alvin Kamara went on.
So he got posterized.
It didn't go very well. He did say, "You would have been very proud of me." He then said, "However, I did miss my first two layups, but I did finish with 4.5 assists, 4 points, and 2 rebounds. So there you go. I mean, he's a defensive tackle. You know,
I could have done better than
I'll
that.
I'll say this, though. The good thing about it is you saw range from Alvin Kamara yesterday, knocking down three-point shots. Michael Thomas, like Brian and Oli said, he looks like a member of the X-Men. I mean, he just, he's ready to go. Again, yesterday we started our all bubble wrap team. Players at the Saints absolutely just should wrap in bubble wrap come the preseason. We're good. We've seen enough. We will see you September 9th. So as we say, gonna kind of take a look and a focus at the Saints' first quarter of the season coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Kyle Kelly of the Browns. They are the second game for the Saints. It's versus Tampa versus Cleveland. So down the street on Poydras, the first two games of the year, followed by at Atlanta and at the Giants. So, again, you take a look at it, you got the Redskins after that and the bye. So we've been saying 4-1 would be fantastic. You got to at least be 3-2 going into that bye. It's the other way around, 2-3 or worse. You're putting yourself in a bit of a pickle when it comes to it. But I have every confidence that the Saints can do that, don't you? I do. I have a lot of confidence when it comes to that.
I'll be disappointed if they lose one, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going 5-0?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We better.
Wow. Okay.
Or I'm not going to another game.
No, stop it.
No, I know.
Stop it. No, but I think 4-1 is, and again, the loss, it's not that I don't believe in, but Atlanta's always the tougher game. So, look, we spoke with yesterday with Ryan Dunleavy, who covers the Giants for the New Jersey Times, and Pat Schumer, new Vikings he was the Vikings offensive coordinator, new head coach over there. They brought in Jonathan Stewart, Orleans Darkwar no longer there, but they brought in Nate Solder, a left tackle, who I thought was key. Again, skill players and position players, they will get a lot of the attention and look-see as to whether or not a team had a good offseason or not. But again, a lot of the attention and blame perhaps has probably been put on Eli Manning. The thing about it is, he had no line. He's constantly getting sacked back there and no really run game or really weapons in the receiving game. So whatever run game they had, they could just stack the box. It wasn't a very good football team last year. What, they start 0-5. Then there was dissension on the team. It wasn't very pretty. Odell Beckham Jr., though, looks healthy, ready to go. Jason Pierre-Paul, he left, joined the Buccaneers. So, we'll see. Now, they did get Saquon Barkley, so that's somebody the Saints will have to face on September 30th. So, we'll take a look at, again, as we said, the Browns and the Falcons with Carlos Medina coming up here at 1:30. Some interesting things took place last night that we'll talk with Matt Moore coming up here in about 7 minutes or so. And I think it was interesting to start seeing the storylines that are going on. Look, Kawhi Leonard's obviously a big storyline. Where is he going to go, right? And if he gets traded from the Spurs or not. Yesterday it was the story that came out was when the Spurs were in New York, taking on the Knicks. The team tried to see him, and his people sequestered him and hid him so that the Spurs staff couldn't see him. I don't even know what to say when it comes to that. I mean, that's a whole nother level of wow, right? I mean, there's wow, and then there's wow. I mean, I don't know what to say about that. He's clearly, to me it's almost like there's something wrong with you mentally, right? I mean, immaturity there. I mean, I get getting advice and all of that. I get maybe this is just not the right environment. But when you're playing tee-hee like Jimmy Graham did and others, on the Saints teams that are no longer here, hiding from reporters, that's one thing, right? Hiding from your team is a completely other. I mean, when you're doing that, I don't know. And again, earlier this week, the report of him, sitting out the season. I think a lot of fans are probably going, fine, sit out. I was going back and forth with Brian in LA East. I was like, dude, can they fine him? I don't know the specifics of the CBA. How could it happen? Can you sue for breach of contract? If he's healthy and he's not playing, you know what I'm getting at? Do I have to pay him? I mean, why can't I fine him if he's not there? I mean, in NFL training camps, again, it's two different sports, two different CBAs, but NFL teams can fine players for not attending mandatory camps or practices, you know what I'm getting at, or training camp, which is mandatory. Every day you don't, you get fined.
Yeah.
So I wonder what's that recourse that they can do. Because today's story, and look, Adrian Wojnarowski, right, a ton of news that comes from Woj. And he was over, of course, with Yahoo Sports before ESPN got him. Shams Charania is the guy that replaced him over at Yahoo. He was on Colin Cowherd this morning and said something real interesting. And, or was it yesterday? Either way, apparently Kawhi Leonard doesn't want to go to the Lakers because LeBron is there. He doesn't want to play with LeBron, which adds a whole nother element here. He'd rather go play with the Clippers. Think about that. Like, what does that say? He'd rather go play with the Clippers. Paul George decided to stay with OKC. Now, apparently, he says, hey, look, he's still open to the possibility of going to Philadelphia over in the East as well. But I guess what I'm getting at is I was talking to Brian about this yesterday. He's like, dude, just trade him if he's not happy. I'm like, but he's killed any leverage that you have, you know? And that's one of the things that we can go back and forth with the next time I chat with him about, you know, he talked about LeBron saying he owes Cleveland nothing, right? Didn't opt in so he can do a sign-in trade so Cleveland could get something and just left. And here's Kawhi just absolutely napalming the Spurs. There is no leverage for San Antonio. San Antonio wants a lot for a player because he's good when healthy. But the way he's acting, no team is going to give you anything. You know why? Because they know he's either not going to play or leave. And I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, it's not like the organizations treat him terribly. Now, again, he must obviously have felt that the treatment during that injury and all of that stuff must have been so big that he's acting this way. I just think he's getting horrible advice from him.
I never thought Kawhi was like this.
Right. Well, that's my thing. He never says anything.
Yeah. A year ago, I didn't hear a word from him.
Says anything. And that's a lot of national people that cover the sport don't get it. But a lot of players now are starting to come out going, what are you doing? You know, and again, it just, cause here's the thing I think that bothers a lot of players too. When you have players that want to move on and stuff, cause you know, a lot of people call him Boogie Snake and stuff. Look, he's a free agent. He chose to play for just $5 million and go to whatever team he wants. He has every right to do that. But for as much like, I'm not even gonna say goodwill, but good PR that the league has really had the last several years, right? What's the one thing when you talk, Jordan, to people that maybe don't follow the NBA or just football fans here in the South? They're like, they're selfish and they get in trouble. You know, stuff that really doesn't make sense that much anymore because I think the NBA's moved in the last 10 years to a very positive league that you don't really see this a lot is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I mean, this stands out.
I think this is why a lot of people are surprised on Twitter.
Exactly, because this doesn't normally happen. Yes, we've seen players move to super teams and all of that. I think fans can understand that. But it's very rare that a player of his caliber just goes rogue like this the way it is. And I say rogue because, again, they were trying to get you healthy. You felt that you needed to sit out to get extra healthier because free agency was coming. And now, you know, reports and stories are coming out that you're hiding in the arena so the team that is paying you can't see you. I just have a problem with that, you know? Again, that's just me, though. But we'll talk to Matt Moore a little bit about that when we come back. We'll take the first break. As always, our number one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. Don't forget they specialize in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp. It's the King Law Firm. Be sure to give them a buzz. Ring the King, 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. When we come back, Mr. Matt Moore from the Action Network, and he's the NBA writer there. We'll talk about some of the top storylines, including, as Jordan asked me, he wants to know, how big a move was Julius Randle coming here? And what does he provide and bring to the Pelicans? We'll ask him when we come back next, as we're live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street on ESPN New Orleans. You know, it's crazy. We've reached the end of the week. Jordan, you remember what it was like at the beginning of the week? It was amazing. I love it. I love it. Every 5 seconds, you had to refresh to find out what was going on. Matt Moore of the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball and the Action Network at Action Network HQ. Joins us to talk a little NBA Pels in the top storylines from this week. Matt, have you recovered? Are you still kind of, you know, your head buzzing from what happened earlier this week?
You know, honestly, I'm just so appreciative that everybody got it done before the fourth. For once, we actually were able to get all this stuff banged out, and then had that 4th of July. I've been hiking. It's been actually pretty relaxing. I think it's going to take us a while to understand everything that happened. I think it's going to take us a little bit to kind of step back over the summer and go, what exactly happened in the NBA, and what is this new world that we're looking at?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's start a little bit, obviously, here locally with the Pelicans. So it was almost like that viral video of the gentleman that put on the different hats and everything was going back and forth on what social media was like. And it was. It felt like that here in New Orleans. I'm telling you, Matt. It was, wait, Rondo did what? Oh, Julius Randle, great. Where's Boogie? He did what? That's sort of what it was like. When you look at the Pels and what happened this week, how would you go about kind of even describing what happened? You obviously lost a player that's a double-double. You lost some leadership as well. And then you bring in Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, it's hard to get a read on it. I will say my impulse is to say that the Pelicans, I don't think, took a huge step backwards. And that's based mostly off of Cousins' injury. So if Cousins had an ACL tear, it's a massive step backwards. If he had a meniscus problem, big step backwards. A broken arm, big step backwards. But the Achilles is different. When you have that injury, very few guys come back the same. And if he doesn't come back as the same guy that he was before, you know, there were a lot of signals, not just in the playoffs, but even before, that the Pelicans weren't appreciably worse without Cousins. It wasn't that they weren't better with him. It's just that they weren't a whole lot worse without him. They were still pretty good. You saw that in the playoffs. Randle's a really great fit. And, you know, his kind of the way that he's looked at in the league, I think, is a little bit archaic, and it misses the point with what he's able to do. People say, like, well, he's a traditional power forward that doesn't stretch the floor. Yeah, but he has excellent handle and is an absolutely insane transition passer. For a team that likes to get out and run, adding Julius Randle is a huge get. I'm not willing to give up on Elfrid Payton. I think the fit with him being a Rondo replacement is really good. And the Pelicans still have a lot of the components that made them so good last year. So I think the Pelicans stayed pretty good overall. Would have been great to get Boogie back. Sure, but you just don't know what you were going to get out of him. And for what it's worth, I think the Pelicans remain a serious threat to at least make a Western Conference final.
Wow. I was hoping that it could at least be a playoff team, and I kind of felt that way too, because, you know, one thing that we saw last year, man, I thought AD, especially after Boogie left, he kind of took that up to another level notch-wise as well, leadership-wise. Jrue Holiday, you could argue, man, he was the MVP of that Blazers series, kind of taking it over here as well. With Elfrid Payton, five coaches, right, with the Magic there and everywhere he's been, it's kind of hard to sort of see that. I guess with the Pels, you just need a point guard to not make the mistakes, drive and penetrate and kick it off and trust Jrue and AD down the stretch.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know that I don't think they're going to start him. Mm-hmm. They have enough wing options now to where they're going to be, you know, pretty versatile. I also thought Ian Clark had real moments. And I think that Clark, there's a good chance that, you know, he steps into a bigger role. There's a lot of kind of signals in the data that suggest, you know, Ian Clark can be a productive player for them, and with his ability to spread the floor. You're also, look, you're top heavy. You have Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday. Those are two fantastic players. And so, you know, is Payton going to be as good as Rondo? Well, not in a playoff series, but for regular season, Rondo wasn't great. Rondo's not great the regular season. He coasts. And so coasting Rajon Rondo versus full-level Elfrid Payton may honestly be a little bit of a wash.
Hmm. Speak with Matt Moore of the Action Network at HP Basketball is the way to follow over on Twitter. So I like what Matt's saying there. You know, Pels can at least be a competitive team out west, because you know what happened, right? LeBron went to the Lakers. The West theoretically got a little tougher, obviously. But have you been a bit surprised, especially just in the last 24 hours, with Kawhi maybe doesn't want to go play over there? Paul George stayed in OKC, not wanting to go play over there, choosing to stay with OKC. I don't know. How strong you think the Lakers can be?
This year, I'm not really sold on them being very strong. I think this year, they're likely to kind of underperform. You know, we've got a piece up on Action Network talking about their summer league teams, and I'm working on a bigger one about kind of the over-under for the Lakers, right. And I tend to look at the under. I think that they're probably not going to be as good as people expect, because that's a lot of really tough personalities there with Rondo and Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee, and then LeBron's just a hurricane wind force. And even if they had Kawhi Leonard, you know, I think that there's still a good chance that they kind of are still trying to figure things out in that first year. All indications have been that LeBron wants to make a long-term play to try and make the best team possible down the line, to take it slow, to not rush things. And there's value in that, but I also think that we have to be honest about where they are now. I think there's a very good chance that the Lakers underperform expectations going into next year.
Matt, this is Brian, and I kind of want to piggyback off of what you're going with here and kind of bring up another player who's allegedly getting the stretch provision done to him, and that's Carmelo Anthony. What do you think Carmelo ends up in? What do you think he's best suited to be?
I think a lot of it for him is going to be who is willing to offer him the opportunity to be Melo. So he's going to get paid by the Thunder, so he doesn't have to worry about that. Like he's getting paid no matter what. He gets his $25 million. So he gets to go somewhere that's going to afford for him to be the guy that he is. And the question is going to be, does LeBron go to him and say, I just want you to be you. You just be you. And in which case, that Lakers team gets a lot worse. Just flat out gets a lot worse. If he goes somewhere that's kind of like Houston, he would have to adapt a little bit. But Houston's shown that it can adapt around its stars. He's going to have options. He still carries a lot of weight with coaches, a lot of weight with the stars, especially the older guys in this league. I think the question is going to be, is he willing to adapt to win more? Because he started to try to do that in OKC, and he got really frustrated with it. I have a feeling that we're going to see the old Melo come back, and I'm not sure that that's going to be a good thing.
That's interesting. Before we go to the East, because there's two storylines that are interesting over there with Philly and Boston, but one final thing on LeBron and the Lakers. Are you surprised that he hasn't talked to Luke Walton? I mean, would you kind of expect a player of that caliber to speak to the head coach? Or do you buy those reports the last day or so that they've yet to even communicate and he feels there's no need to?
I'm not, for a number of reasons. One, the man gave his decision and then hopped on a plane to go to Europe with his wife. And you only get so much time away from the game. I understand the whole idea of, like, of her being like, no, we're on vacation. I think the other thing is, like, let's just be honest, is that LeBron's never really considered coaches to be that important. I think it's one of the stranger things about him. It's one of the most, I think, maybe disappointing things about his decision, is that he didn't go somewhere with really elite culture. I think Luke Walton did a really good job last year and has done great things with that young core, but he's about to be up in an absolute hurricane with LeBron's star power and the other guys they signed. That's going to be a real challenge, I think, for Walton. I'm not surprised LeBron hasn't talked to him because LeBron just doesn't think it's going to be a problem because he looks at his past and goes, I've won with all these other guys, so we can't be worse than them.
Right.
It's unfortunate. It would be better if he was more plugged into trying to start this kind of process, but I think he knows he has time and he's willing to take his time and do things on his schedule.
Speaking of schedules, right on schedule with free agency is Kyrie Irving saying he's not signing an extension. So what do you think he ends up? I know some reports have him going to New York, saying that he wants to be there. Other reports are saying that him and Jimmy Butler kind of want to team up and end up somewhere. What do you think and what happens with Kyrie?
I think we're going to see next summer. I think that there's a lot of things that have to get figured out this year. The surface level conversation about Boston is great in that they're like, it's such a good team and they've got such good culture and Brad Stevens is such an awesome coach. The problem is we start trying to ascribe logical qualities of Kyrie's thought process, and I think that that's a flawed approach. Kyrie's going to do what Kyrie's going to do. They could compete for a title, and Kyrie could leave. They could be under 500, and he could decide to sign an extension halfway through the year. Like, there's all of these outcomes that are on the table because I don't think Kyrie thinks the way that most folks do, and when you have a guy like that, you're just going to have to wait and see. I think that I will say this. Most guys, when they get to this point in their careers that he's coming up on, they want to experience free agency. They want to be wined and dined. They want to see what's out there. It's exciting for them. Usually after they go through it, they never want to do that again. But before they get there, they want that experience. That, to me, explains the biggest reason why he decided not to take an extension.
And on the completely other spectrum of what you just said, you got poor Marcus Smart, who said he's shocked that the Celtics haven't even made a phone call to him. Where do you think he winds up?
I think, I'll say this, I'm not surprised by how this has played out. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston lowballs him and just waits and waits and waits and then brings him back when his price is nothing if nobody else has got the money or the interest in going after him. But I will say, like, look, they were shopping him hard at the deadline. They made a big show of we love Marcus Smart. We care about Marcus Smart. We love everything he brings to the table. They were trying to move him at the deadline. And that was for a lot of reasons. There are questions about his chemistry fit. There's a lot of questions about, obviously his shooting is an issue. He's not a perfect player to overcome those things. So I'm not surprised that Boston is slow playing this. That's unfortunate for Marcus Smart. It shows you the problem with free agency. Right. I do think some teams out there should go after him because I think that what he brings to the court is worth dealing with all the nonsense just for what he's able to do on both ends of the court.
Matt, are the Boston Red Sox going to be the team to beat in the East? Because obviously nobody in the NBA thinks that the East even has teams anymore. So do you think by any chance that there's a team besides Boston, maybe even Philadelphia, that has a chance to kind of rise up in the East and take that next step? Or is it just Boston and Philly only?
I think Milwaukee is one team to keep an eye on. If they're able, like, they've got really a huge upgrade in coaching with Mike Budenholzer. If they implement an actual system on both ends of the court, and Mike Budenholzer's teams in Atlanta were top 10 in defense every year, if they add one more shooter, like say the Cavaliers get off of this stupid idea that they're going to be able to keep their team together and they decide to move Kyle Korver, like imagine Kyle Korver next to Giannis, like just one more shooter, and you have a real system there around a superstar like that, I would keep an eye on them. I think, you know, the other thing is, look, we're going to see somebody surprising. Indiana may have had the best offseason of any team in the Eastern Conference. Indiana's gotten a lot better. They were good last year. This team is on the rise. There's going to be competition for Boston. I think Boston is heads and shoulders above everybody else. But they are going to have teams that are going to challenge them, and they're going to have to be ready to meet that challenge next year.
Mm. I guess the final question is going to be, now that LeBron is gone from Cleveland, it looks like they're having a fire sale. Are the rumors true and pretty much everybody's available, or is Dan Gilbert going to try to keep some of that core that's there and build through them?
You know, Brian Windhorst of ESPN is as plugged in there as anybody who had reported this. You know, they told Love and Korver and George Hill, be prepared to play here next season. Now, that may be public posturing. Right. What they need to do is they need to tear it down. I think the likely scenario is if you come in with a really strong offer for Kevin Love, which teams honestly should, like for as many problems as he has in a matchup versus the Warriors, most teams aren't looking to match up with the Warriors. if you're in an opportunity where you need an upgrade, Love's a great option. I just mentioned what Korver could do for the Bucks, and George Hill, I think, is veteran point guard. That's a position that's getting to be pretty thin in this league. I think that those guys, you're going to have to come in with a big offer for them because Cleveland's simply not willing to take on nothing just to clear their books. Their money sheet gets clear in 2020. They're going to see that as an advantage. Oh, we can sign new guys. They need to be taking on contracts now. They are not going to be in a position to compete, which means they're going to have a lot of money for a small market for teams not to win. That's how you get in trouble. Cleveland desperately needs a reverse course, but I don't know that we know exactly what they're going to do until we see the kind of offers formulate for them over the next couple of months.
Matt Moore at HP Basketball is the way to follow him over on Twitter. NBA writer for the Action Network. Matt, as we let you go, tell folks what they can find at actionnetwork.com.
You got complete analysis on everything NBA. I'm doing a daily Summer League diary. We did in-depth breakdowns on all of the Summer League games today. I've got a big piece coming up on the Lakers and just thoughts about where that team is at and where it's going. And next week, I'm actually going to start looking at these new-look Pelicans and what Julius Randle can bring to the table. You can check it all out at actionnetwork.com.
Dude, definitely we'll pass that along when you get that done. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your time this week, man.
Thanks, Matt.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. At HP Basketball, literally, Brian, you know that we've known Matt for years.
Yes.
An absolute must-follow if you love hoops.
No question.
I mean, it's not even
close.
No
question about it.
And during the season, he's hilarious. I mean, he eats, breathes, sleeps, lives hoops.
Yeah, no question. No question.
I don't know how he does it, actually. It's like he's watching every game at the same time.
You know what?
If you follow his Twitter on a game night, it's insane. He knows what's going on in every single game. I don't know how he does it.
Like one TV, like almost like the NFL Red Zone. I think he does that just kind of like with his computer screen.
I hear you. All right, well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Brian, we've been focusing this week on the first quarter of games for the New Orleans Saints. Yesterday, we looked at Tampa and the Giants. So when we come back, Joey back over in the LaRose studios is super excited. You know why? Cleveland.
Yeah.
Kyle Kelly is coming up.
No question. He covers as a beat writer for the Browns. He's going to give us some info on what's going on up in Cleveland. Is Tyrod Taylor really the future that they keep talking about? Because Jarvis Landry says he looks amazing.
Hey, well, it's smart, though. It makes sense. Look, we're going to go over some of the picks and the moves they made. They will not go winless this year.
No way. In fact, I might have a surprise for you.
I say 5 or 6 games next year.
look at you.
Yeah.
If Hugh Jackson wins 5 or 6 games next year, he's Vince Lombardi.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Sports Hangover continues next, live from Deuce McAllister's Old St. Kitchen and Tap, where Hour 1 is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING, and check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Street off of Canal Street, but Joey back in the LaRose studios, native of Cleveland, loves his Browns. Joey, I'm telling you, I don't think they go winless this year.
No, they could beat the Saints.
On that note, that's all the time we have for Joey. And we bring in Kyle Kelly. He's a writer, covers the Browns for the Browns Wire. At the Browns Wire is the way to follow him over on Twitter as well. Really? There you go. Yeah. What's up, Kyle? How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you guys down there in New Orleans?
Doing fantastic. We're taking a look at the first 4 games of the season and the next 4 next week, etc. So the Browns, there they are, game 2 for the Saints. So we kind of are trying to get Saints fans a little background as to maybe the upcoming season for the Browns. We know last year they were 0-16, but I mean, I guess you start, Kyle, with really this offseason here. The draft, obviously Baker Mayfield goes number 1. Denzel Ward, 4th overall. Nick Chubb as well in the 2nd round. Those are names that people here know from college football. But it's quarterback Tyrod Taylor, Jarvis Landry in that trade. You throw in Josh Gordon coming back. Carlos Hyde, Miles Garrett from a year ago. Is there excitement for maybe a young nucleus of a team that maybe can start doing things? Talk about the offseason here.
Yeah, so overall, lots of improvement across the board for the Browns. One thing that I've really noticed that seemed to be a reoccurring thing from general manager John Dorsey kind of leading the ship here in Cleveland is that veteran presence and leadership and kind of a change of culture in the locker room has been right on top of his list of kind of transforming this franchise and what John Dorsey has said to awake the sleeping giant of the Cleveland Browns. You know, to kind of add on to that, head coach Hugh Jackson spoke to the media a couple weeks ago or so, and he mentioned when they acquired both Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry, he got some of his swag back, he said. So it's kind of, you know, there's a different feel in this locker room. And among Browns fans, there certainly is a little bit of optimism and excitement coming into this year. Certainly 1-31 under Hugh Jackson. So there's not too much optimism under Coach Jackson, especially with the amount of flaws that he's kind of represented in his coaching over the last 2 years. But, I mean, when you look at the offense, you're taking a look at an offense that last year with Deshaun Kizer at quarterback, Ricardo Lewis as one of your top receivers, and Isaiah Crowell as your running back, who is now, of course, with the New York Jets, a part of a 4 or 5 running back committee there in New York. You know, the offense has kind of been transformed. They're getting a healthy and clean Josh Gordon back. They drafted Antonio Callaway, who, as many people know, down at Florida was a first-round talent but had plenty of off-the-field issues down there, but shows some similarities to Tyreek Hill, who John Dorsey drafted down in Kansas City.
Wow.
And then, of course, acquiring Tyrod Taylor, who is a middle-of-the-road veteran quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, the argument could even be made that Tyrod Taylor actually could be the best quarterback this franchise has seen in, you know, 20 years or so, especially since the comeback. So,
right.
You know, there's definitely excitement and optimism for this Browns team, but the schedule is tough. So, especially week 2 against the Saints, that's for sure. That's not going to be an easy one down in New Orleans.
Kyle, this is Brian, and I kind of was looking at the schedule, and I know you just talked about Tyrod Taylor. What do you think, you know, what difference can he make? Simply because I'm looking at it, you guys had about 5, maybe 6 games last year in which you were right there, and maybe if you had a better quarterback, those are W's exactly. Instead of L's.
Yeah, absolutely. The Browns were really in a few games last year. I remember right off the bat, opening against the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were in that game, you know, right to the end. They just couldn't pull through. Deshaun Kizer, who I respect very much, I think he's a very talented quarterback. I thought he got a terribly raw deal in Cleveland. I'm quite excited for him to be in Green Bay and a very stable franchise and quarterback situation. And I think he kind of has an opportunity to resurrect his career there. But anyway, you know, Kizer was thrown into a situation that under absolutely no circumstances should have been in. My thoughts on Kizer when he was drafted is that, you know, this guy, he needed to sit. I know Kizer on a personal level, both from Notre Dame and where he played high school football at a high school called Toledo Central Catholic, who is a very popular football program at the high school level in the state of Ohio. But you had a guy at quarterback that had no business playing the National Football League.
Right.
As a result, unfortunately, he, you know, really played part in the 0-16 record for the Browns. But, you know, when you look at Tyrod Taylor, a lot from what I've heard from out of Buffalo is that, you know, he's not really a guy that's necessarily going to win you games. But he's not going to lose you those games either.
Right.
And with Deshaun Kizer, you saw that, you know, yeah, he was put in a tough situation, but he probably lost the Browns about three or four games last year just himself. So, you know, it's definitely good to know that the Browns have probably a very stable quarterback room, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy saying that, but you got a guy in Tyrod Taylor that throughout his career has been actually, for his style of play, pretty healthy. And, he took a Bills team to the playoffs, and that's very optimistic, for Browns fans when you look over there, you know, a couple hours away across the lake, I guess you could say, in Buffalo, where they had that playoff drought. And, you know, Drew Stanton backing them up. Baker Mayfield has, you know, spoke volumes as to Drew Stanton's veteran presence in the locker room. And, you know, there is, believe it or not, some stability among the quarterback position, of course, led by Tyrod Taylor.
I think that's where I wanted to go next. Speak with Kyle Kelly at Kyle Kelly, C-L-E, is the way to follow him over on social media. I love Baker Mayfield. I mean, people around here know, they were probably sick of me saying on our show, I would have loved from the Been the Air parent that you're Brees. I love them. But then you just started seeing from the Senior Bowl, Kyle, to moving forward in the weeks and months that followed leading into the draft, he just started going up in the draft, started going up in the top 10. And I'm like, it's just, there's no way. The Saints don't have the ammo. So he gets taken number one overall. But I thought what was key is one of the reasons I liked him, Kyle, was his attitude, his confidence, that swag that you kind of talk about that, look, you have no wins, but the guy doesn't act that way. He's happy to be there. You've had people that didn't want anything to do with Cleveland. So I think it's important when you see people that go, hey, no, this is our team. Let's start something. You want to be happy there. But more importantly, to your point, you have a veteran quarterback. There's no pressure to throw him out there to the Wolves immediately. And I think it's just the right way to do it this time around.
Yeah, I can say that following Baker Mayfield's couple months in Berea after being drafted with rookie mini camp, OTAs, mandatory mini camp, et cetera, there's rave views coming out side of the Browns organization about Baker Mayfield. I've heard from a couple players, not personally, but through social media. One example is Joe Schobert, Pro Bowl linebacker, actually, tweeted out about, I would say, a few weeks ago or so, and just raving about Baker Mayfield and his leadership, his charisma. I mean, the Browns, I really did not think they were going to pull the trigger on Baker Mayfield at first overall. Of course, there was some buzz on Mayfield's name, and me personally, I was hoping the Browns were going to draft Mayfield. He was my top-rated quarterback on the board. Mm-hmm. One thing that really just stood out outside of his leadership was his accuracy. He's very, very accurate passer. He throws his receivers open, and that's very encouraging, translating to the NFL. And, of course, there is the comparison of Drew Brees, the height, the leadership. But, you know, with Mayfield's spring performance, on the football field, it was a little bit underwhelming. He threw three interceptions the first day. Practice was open to the media. You know, it's not, he hasn't gone out there and lit it up. I mean, he is a rookie. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that can almost even be seen as a positive if you're a Browns fan, because, you know, you're going to have Mayfield kind of, you know, there's been this, this narrative that Mayfield has potential with competitiveness. You know, of course, the story at Texas Tech and then at Oklahoma that he's going to push Tyrod Taylor to start, but from many levels, it seems that it would be best for Tyrod Taylor to hold down the sport as long as possible and really lead this football team and have Baker Mayfield just sit, learn, and watch and lead on the sidelines. And, you know, of course, everybody knows his character, his leadership, and, you know, there's no negative there whatsoever, but it's almost best, especially seeing with the way Deshaun Kizer performed last year, even though they're not nearly the same prospect, that, you know, the longer Baker Mayfield can sit, the better, but he is going to push Tyrod a little bit in training camp.
Kyle, we'll get you out of here with this one. And, of course, week two, Saints-Browns, but there's going to be a very familiar face on the sidelines facing Sean Payton. That's going to be Greg Williams, who's the D coordinator over there. How do you think he's going to, I guess, maybe try to implement a new defense based on what Sean Payton did him last time when he was the Rams defensive coordinator? Do you think there's any new wrinkles? Is this a little bit of a grudge match? What are you guys hearing in Cleveland about Greg Williams versus Sean Payton week two?
Well, you know, that's funny you bring that up because there's just, I have not been able to get a read on how Greg Williams is pretty much perceived around the league and in Cleveland. I know, of course, with the whole bounty scandal and everything else, you know, there's not necessarily, you know, very positive reviews about Greg Williams, but, you know, there were some things he could have done differently last year. I don't really agree with him playing Jabril Peppers 25 yards off the ball for the majority of the season. I still, you know, am scratching my head on that. But you look at this Browns defense, and they're exceptionally talented. They have Myles Garrett, Emmanuel Ogba off the edge. I mean, Myles Garrett, he's positioned himself to be, you know, top 10 pass rusher in the NFL for the next decade. Their interior defensive line with Larry Ogunjobi, who's going to be a second-year player, is outstanding. Their linebacking core, you could even argue, maybe the best in the NFL right now. With you have three Pro Bowlers and Jamie Collins, Christian Kirksey, and Joe Schobert. Then you sign Super Bowl champion Michael Kendricks, who is more than a solid, you know, veteran linebacker. Even was showing potential to be a Pro Bowler last year. So you have a lot of different combinations that you can go with in that front seven. And the secondary is probably one of the biggest weaknesses on this team right now. There's no telling on what it's going to look like rolling out for week one. But right now the best guess is Denzel Ward starting at the first cornerback spot. And then opposite him looks like E.J. Gaines. But there is going to be a lot of competition for those two cornerback spots, and especially at the safety positions. Demarius Randall, who, of course, played cornerback in Green Bay, seems to have the edge at free safety. But at strong safety, there will be a competition between Derek Kindred and Jabril Peppers. Of course, with where Peppers was drafted, he'll have a little bit of a foot in the door. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of competition in training camp between that secondary and the wide receiving core that's actually probably top five in the NFL, believe it or not, in training camp. So that's going to be a fun one to watch in Cleveland coming up in the next few weeks.
September 16th, Saints hosting the Browns, high noon, the kickoff over there in a dome down the street on Poydras. At Kyle Kelly, CLE is the way to follow him over on Twitter, and check out at the Browns Wire as well online. Kyle, thank you for your time.
Thanks
this afternoon
again.
And enjoy the rest of your summer. And dude, camp's right around the corner.
Absolutely. It's going to get busy here real soon. So thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
For sure, man.
No problem.
It. Thank
Take
you
care.
So
Thank
much.
You.
As we go Bye-bye. To break. What is that for? What are you playing that for? I don't. No one's playing the Doom music. no one that's playing. That's Joey.
I heard top five wide receivers. I heard great linebackers. Basically, I heard the Saints were going to lose by 30.
That's not what I heard.
No, 31.
31 per Joey. No, look, I'll say this. Look, it's not going to be a walkthrough. Not that any game I think in the NFL is sort of like that, but I would probably equate this game already, I'm feeling. Remember the Bears game last year?
Yes.
Remember I said going into that Bears game, I said, don't laugh at them. I said, they keep giving. The Jets were another game.
Yes.
Remember I kept saying we were
Bears
watching
Jets,
those
yeah.
games at Buffalo Wild Wings in our post-game show. John and I got to see a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, hey, that team's going to give you competition. They may not win some games. Just, you know, they're not there yet to where, as you mentioned, 5 or 6 of those games could have been wins last year.
Very much so.
You had a terrible quarterback. I mean, the college coach said he should have stayed at Notre Dame.
Yes.
I mean, everyone crushed him for that. He was just being honest. He wasn't ready, and he's not even on the team anymore, Kaiser. So,
yes.
Point is, you got to have a quarterback that makes good decisions. Like in the NBA, you have a point guard that turns the ball over, you're toast.
Yeah.
So, if you have a guy in Tyrod Taylor who's not going to kill you and hurt you like that, they got some backs. They got some receivers. They got a defense that'll keep them in games. The Saints are more talented overall, I think, right now, just a little further along playing together.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleveland is going to win 5 or 6 games this year.
I agree with that. I disagree totally with the idea that the Browns will beat the Saints or that they'll make.
I didn't say they're going to beat them. I said it'll be a close game.
Yeah, that close game. That was going to be my next point. It's not going to be a close game.
You don't think it's going to be a close game?
Who's on the opposite side of the sidelines we just talked about?
So what if it's Greg Williams?
And Joey.
Did you see what Sean Payton did last time?
And Joey.
Did you pay attention? Didn't the Rams have a good defense?
Here we go.
Did the Rams have a good defense?
Yeah, but you know what happened in that game?
Yeah, Sean Payton almost hung half a hundred on
him. And you don't think Greg's forgot about that?
Yeah, too bad. He's going to get another taste of it.
He's got better players.
Oh, does he now?
Yep.
Guess who else has better players?
Sean. And that's all the time we got for Brian and Elise in this segment where we come back. We'll talk on some of the other topics we've gotten into. Don't go anywhere. Got plenty. Still ahead, next hour, Rafael Esparza. I really want to know what Vegas odds have changed since Monday with NBA free agency. Also, Carlos Medina will give us the update on the Falcons, some of the top storylines going into training camp. Their playoff team a year ago got into the second round. And honestly, you know, if Julio Jones makes the catch in the end zone, they're in the NFC Championship game.
How many times do you have to say if Julio Jones makes the catch?
Well, if he makes the catch, I'm just saying.
If. At the Falcons.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks!
Cleveland rocks! Cleveland rocks!
Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, Denzel Ward at corner, Nick Chubb to join the backfield as well. I think Cleveland's
got some talent over there.
Yeah. Stability is kind of what you need.
Yeah. I think that and a tough schedule is going to kind of hurt just a little bit, but we'll see what they do. I don't want to say tough schedule just yet. You never know what can happen.
They opened up against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm. Then they got the Saints.
Right. Then they got the Saints.
And Southern Miss.
Not Southern Miss.
No, that's an easy win right there.
Everybody needs
a gimme game on the schedule.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Your mustard buzzards are an easy win.
Why are you disrespecting the Eagles?
Simply because.
Because they win?
Win what?
Yeah.
Win what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Just because they can't win a national championship, they don't win good enough, huh?
No.
Okay.
The chicken and greens bowl is not enough.
You know what? You're not enough. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. Nello's the way to follow. Over on Twitter, we got some interesting things to talk about when it comes to, again, every day is a new story. So let's kind of reset it quickly here. And then, again, next hour, we'll bring in Rafael at 1:15 and Carlos Media at 1:30. We'll talk Falcons. But some interesting NBA news, right, from this morning. So Carmelo Anthony opted in. Everyone in the world knew that. He wasn't going to give up $27 million or $25, whatever it is. But by doing that, it kind of hurt OKC. So they either have to do the stretch provision or they have to trade them somewhere. And now the reports are the Houston Rockets, Mark Stein, saying they're among the teams that will have interest in Carmelo Anthony once he secures his free agency. I guess they're trying to get a buyout there from OKC. It's crazy when you think of all the money that OKC maybe – that's why they traded Harden.
Yeah.
And, you know, Durant left. They would have had all this money to pay. They're paying twice as much. They're the number one team in luxury tax right now.
Yes.
It's crazy when you think they have to get rid of some money.
You had three MVPs
yes.
that were on your roster, and right. they also had another great player in Serge Ibaka at the time.
Right. And the belief was they didn't want to pay them all three.
Exactly.
But now they're paying twice as much as they would have been paying all three if they would have kept on a roster.
Horrible gamble on their part.
Rockets with Carmelo, a fit or not a fit?
It is, and then it isn't, because it's almost exactly what Matt Moore said. It's a good fit if you look at somebody who just wants to jack up shots. Well, that's what Houston does
best. Melo being Melo.
Exactly. The problem is that Melo is also a black hole for the basketball, and when you pass it to him, you don't get it back. In fact, you never see it again.
Right.
So the next time you'll probably see the ball, the other team is scoring on you, and that's going to be the problem with Melo.
Can we just stop it now? I haven't even refreshed Twitter. Jordan the intern.
What?
No one's tweeted just yet, but I know – No, the Pelicans are not interested in Carmelo. First off, they couldn't afford. Well, no, the money's coming from
OKC.
OKC.
He'd have to take a vet man.
Yeah, but no, he doesn't fit.
Come on.
No.
The Pels need a small forward.
No.
What are Shooter.
What are y'all doing? I opened y'all's mics thinking that y'all would support me and back Kumbaya. Me up. This, that
we're
not
going to walk off into the sunset.
We're not going to start. People tweeting, because you know how it works with the Saints. Anytime another team releases a player.
Sign him up, Mickey. Yeah, pay the man,
yeah,
Mickey.
Mickey, make the phone call.
Mickey, make it happen.
Dell doesn't need to make this phone call.
Yes, he does. Why not?
Give
What's
him an
it
offer.
Hurt? Give him, make the man an offer, Dell.
Really?
Make him an offer.
He plays no defense.
Neither does Solomon Hill.
Stop it. At least he's trying to.
What do you mean he's trying? How many shots has Solomon Hill made in his entire career as a Pelican?
Right.
It takes 27 shots for Melo to make one.
Hey.
Yeah.
You only miss the shots you don't shoot.
You know what? Stop it.
True.
You know, I would. Oh, stop it. You're both of y'all supposed to be on my side. We do not need people tweeting left and right.
Melo out.
Sign Melo.
Melo out.
Melo out where?
Melo out there at the SKC, baby.
Oh,
that's where you need him.
It. He's not going to the Pelicans. Where else? Do you think in the East he'd go where?
I don't think Philadelphia wants a guy like Melo because
I don't think he fits that offense either.
He's totally going to just kill whatever chemistry that they have over there. I think it's
Miami.
Miami.
I was
possibly,
just about to say that.
But I think the Lakers, of course, because LeBron is there. But a team that I really don't think people talk much about is maybe the Clippers could use him because they need somebody now more than ever.
Okay,
you lost everybody.
It's funny you say that because the Clippers, who's their draw right now?
Oh, they want Kawhi. But there's no draw for them now. DeAndre Jordan is gone. Blake Griffin gone. Chris Paul gone. They even shipped away Austin Rivers. How do you trade away this coach's kid? Nobody.
He's terrible.
Yeah, he's horrible. Yeah, okay. I wonder if Dino ever got that tattoo removed.
Oh, no. Well, you know.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. You brought it up, and we haven't gotten your take on it as well. The reports out of Yahoo now that Kawhi wants nothing to do with the Lakers now because they have LeBron. He doesn't want to play with LeBron.
No.
He would rather go to the Clippers. He wants L.A.,
yes.
But he'd rather go to the Clippers.
Kawhi Leonard wants to be the guy. He doesn't want to have to share the spotlight with anybody. He wants to, we talk about the Saints when it rolls up Drew Brees, you know, and the Saints. He wants it to be Kawhi Leonard and such and such team. It's no longer Greg Popovich and the Spurs. He didn't want that. He doesn't want a shadow cast over him.
You
want to
talk
Dwight
about
Howard
somebody that nobody probably thought was like this.
A report
yesterday as well that his people sequestered him and hid him from the arena from the Spurs when they were in town to take the Knicks.
Biggest lie in sports right now is that Kawhi Leonard is a quiet guy who doesn't want the spotlight.
Yeah. I'm just saying, are you surprised? I mean, that speaks of mental instability when you're hiding from people.
I think the idea of it all is that Kawhi Leonard is not the guy that people told us he was. They told us he was Tim Duncan-esque.
Yeah.
That's not who
he
is.
No, not at all.
No. He wants the spotlight. He's going to get it.
Really?
Endorsement deals and everything that come with it.
Okay. Hour 2 coming up next, live from Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. You're listening to the Sports Hangover. Hour 1 was brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Every single day singing.